In our Bible study program this week, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hi, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. Let's now look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for our Savior. We thank you for the Word of God. We come before you and ask that you might prepare our hearts, that the speaker might glean from this, that you might teach us all from what we have before us in your precious Word. We ask that you would be with those listening. We think of those in nursing homes. We think of those that are traveling about, those that are in mills, working about in different workplaces in Randolph County. We just ask your guidance that they might be able to hear the Word. It might be an encouragement to them. We just pray these things and ask it according to your will in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We picked up the first couple of verses yesterday in the introduction, comparing it to the introduction that Paul gave to Timothy in the first epistle to him. And then we showed a little bit about this term, the promise of life, how there's different promises given to us in the Word of God. But I'd like to pick up there as we flow on into the next passage. But in Titus, the next book in chapter 1, in its introduction, it speaks of, again, of promise, speaking of God. And keep in mind, there's two things God cannot do. God cannot lie, and God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his own existence and who he is. So we see here, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we see here, when we think of someone giving their word, we see someone, we would say, my handshake is in my word are good. Well, today that may not always be the case with people, but we know when it comes to God that his word is good. His promise is good. We see in the book of Hebrews, speaking of the death of a testator, as such as a will going into effect. When Christ died upon the cross, that last will and testament went into effect. We see that his death brought us life. We see the word oath and things in terminology such as this in the Word of God, such as in Hebrews, speaking of what our Lord has promised. We can take his word, as people say, you've heard him say, as the gospel truth. This is the gospel according to Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came to this world. He died for the sin of the world. He was buried, he rose again the third day, and he went, ascended back to heaven. And this is according to the very Word of God. Now we see that as God cannot lie, that he promised us eternal life to those that believe by faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we see here, as we see the promises mentioned and outlined in the Word of God, we could now drop down to our main portion for this day is verse 3-5. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. Paul is talking to Timothy here of remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here we see, as we could go back into Acts 22, and it spoke there, and we can see in Philippians 3, how Paul served God from early on. Now we see that he did not serve him with a pure conscience until he met the Lord there on the Damascus Road. And we see that once he knew Christ was the true Messiah, his Lord and Savior, then he could go on with full assurance and serve the Lord. Yet we see, even when he was following Judaism, growing up, and as he was a zealous one, after these things, he was still acknowledging the one true God, yet he did not know the Lord as his Savior. He persecuted those ones that had been following Christ, and he thought he was doing right before God. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul recalls how he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But in Philippians chapter 3, he also talked about, so I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal for persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So we see here that he was serving God in that the fashion of being a Pharisee. He was trying to persecute and was persecuting the church of God. We see that then on the Damascus Road, he comes to know Christ as his Savior. And we see there that now, as he thinks back here, telling Timothy of how he served this one, Jesus Christ, now with a pure conscience. And then he speaks of how this brings to remembrance of this one Timothy, him in prayer, night and day. You know, Paul in Colossians spoke of praying for one that he had never even met, praying for them. And Paul is one that, as we think of Elijah, a man of prayer in the Old Testament, think of Daniel, a man of prayer. As we go back to 1 Timothy, we remember where Paul exhorted Timothy there in chapter 2. Of prayer in the different areas such as supplications and intercessions and giving thanks, these different areas of prayer. So as we think of this, we know that as this man Paul, we feel confident as he was there in prison that he surely prayed for this one Timothy along with other people and other places and the work of God as a whole when he was there in that dungeon, in that prison, that whatever the circumstances was, cold, dark, damp, whatever kind of prison he was in, praying night and day. You know, he was greatly desiring in verse 4 to see Timothy, being mindful of thy tears, he says, that I may be filled with joy. You know, we think of what brings joy in this world. So much of the world thinks of materialism, but when it gets right down to it, here's someone in prison, what would bring joy to see some body he knows and cares about. Isn't that joy? And if you love the Lord, isn't that joy unspeakable that one day we shall see him, see his face, see him as he is? Now, this is joy to see those that you truly love. And if you know Christ your Savior, I would say this would be joy. And there's so many, and I would exhort ones today, think about it. You may say haphazardly, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love his word? To say that you, oh, I'm a Christian, yet then there's no love for his word. You don't have any great anticipation to being in his presence. It's just kind of a convenient thing to say. Your parents may have been religious people or maybe even Christians. But just saying, oh, sure. You know, I'm in America. Yeah, I'm a Christian. This is not an American religion, my friend. Religion is man trying to reach God anyway, but we see that when God reaches man through his Son, Jesus Christ, this is salvation. So you cannot be a true believer, a true Christian, by just trying to fit in to a certain society or a certain mold. My friend, is it real in your heart? Do you have love for this one, Jesus Christ? Do you love the brethren? Do you love the people that are believers? The scripture tells us that if you're a child of God, you'll love the brethren. And that's more inclusive than just the people that say they're Christians that's in your family. You're certainly going to love your family. But do you love the Christians that are around? So anyway, as we say that, we bring that up because Paul says here, speaking of remembrance, in verse 5, when I call remembrance, the unfeigned faith, that means non-hypocritical faith that is in thee, speaking of Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. I am persuaded in thee also, he says of Timothy. So here, as we look at another area of confidence, we see that Paul had confidence that Timothy truly loved the Lord and that he was one with unfeigned faith. In chapter 3 of this book, in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So this one, Paul brings it up again. Here is Timothy, who had been taught the scripture from a child, and we see that his mother and his grandmother had encouraged him in the word of God. We think of in the book of Proverbs, where it exhorts us to train up a child in the way that he should go. When he grows up, he shall not depart from it. We see in Acts 16 that Philippian jailer was saved, that it says he and his house knew the Lord. You know, when we come to know Christ, it should spread like wildfire around those that are our family. Just like Andrew, when he saw that the Messiah was come, Jesus Christ, he first went and found his own brother, Peter. So we see here unfeigned faith. We see the fact that Timothy was raised in a godly home. We could turn back and look at some passages, which, as we already have previously, of how Timothy was well reported of by the brethren as a young man, and Paul took him along in his journey. But we see that Paul found out about his mother and his grandmother, how they were ones that had taught him the scripture as a child, and that he was a man that had been persuaded, Paul was persuaded of, that had true faith. Now, when we think of true faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We just challenge you today, where is your faith? Your faith is not based on how much you have, but what is your faith on? We think of that illustration mentioned before. You may have heard of how here was a man trying to go from one side of a big chasm to the other. And this one man said he had all the faith in the world, and he dropped this old rickety plank across this chasm, yet this plank couldn't hold him, and he plunged into the deep. Yet here's a man who had weak and trembling faith, but he had a strong board, a strong piece of oak lumber, dropped it across the chasm. Then this man with weak, trembling faith made it across. See, it's not a matter of how great a faith you claim, but it's a matter of where is your faith. Do you have it in that strong, solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, or is it in something shaky and saying, oh, I'll take a piece of this over here, I'll take some religion from over here. A friend, it's where your faith is founded in. Is it in Christ? What is your faith directed in? The solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. We'll pick up with this tomorrow, Lord willing. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody of the Two Roads, Two Destinies Radio Ministry. If you have any comments or questions, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsthorpe, North Carolina, 27316 for any comments or questions. Thank you.